I thank Mark for the songs that we have just sung. It just sort of ties this morning's lesson and the one we are about to involve ourselves in together. Very close connection. I appreciate it very much. I want to talk this evening about something we don't want to talk about. Something that we just don't want to have anything to do with it. But bless your heart, you can have your way around when it comes to what we'll be talking about this evening. It's going to happen in spite of you. It's going to happen in spite of me. So we need to give a lot of thought to what we're going to be studying this evening. Yes, there's a great day coming. We are all going to be there. But you know what? We're going to be there to answer for what we will be thinking tonight. We can't keep a thing away from the judge that we're going to face at that time. So we better do some thinking about it, possibly a whole lot of thinking about it, in order to be ready. Remember, I made the announcement this morning that this evening we're going to talk about, as in a short three-word question, are you ready? Well, that's still a good question. Are you ready? I think of that every day of my life. Am I ready? And I need to keep that thought in my mind because I do not know when I'm going to be called from this stage of action. You don't know that. As a matter of fact, we turn back to a little bit in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew. We're going to be dealing with 25. But we're told in chapter 4 that no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but only God knows when that time is going to come. And that statement is made at least three times that I can think of in God's Word, emphasizing, if you will, the fact that we do not know, we cannot know. But we do know what God says about it. We've got to be ready. So what is involved then in our getting ready? Can we do it without thinking about it? You know, the older we get, the more we think about it, whether we want to or not. Because we're getting to the point now when we almost can feel it coming. And we don't know what the first hour is going to be, nor the second one, when it gets here. All we know about it is what God has said for our benefit. Now that brings us to the closing remarks of our lesson this morning. We've got to love God. And if we love God, we're going to be greatly concerned about what He has told us to enable us to be ready. You see how we're sewing the two lessons together? God wants us to be with Him in heaven. Don't you think that's great? I do. Isn't it worth some thought? You better believe it. As a matter of fact, it's worth a whole lot of thought, isn't it? Because we're going to be there. There's no way we can escape it. We've just got to prepare ourselves for what is going to take place at that point in our life, or at the end of our life. So, are we ready? Are we ready? Well, what is involved in getting ready? Well, there's a whole lot of things involved. And every bit of it requires some thinking on our part. We cannot take vacation this summer if we're not giving it some thought now. Isn't that right? Tom told me about some time that he is going to spend going somewhere 7 years from now. He's looking ahead for something while he's yet still here on this earth. He's planning. He has something in his mind. Now, I can't tell you what he has in his mind, but I certainly can tell you what he ought to have in his mind and what all of us ought to have in our mind. Getting ready to meet God. I almost said president, but I'll just hold off on that. But if some dignitary should come to town, I would almost bet you, if I was a gambler, which I'm not, that you would want to go see that dignitary. And you'd make plans to go see the dignitary. Think. What did Jesus say along this very line? He said in Matthew, the 18th chapter, that He's going to be with us when we are gathered with Him. We don't see Him, do we? But isn't it a fact that this gathering this evening is because of Him and for Him and for us? Or did you think about that? We even have to do a lot of thinking now, don't we? If we put God first in our life, how are we going to serve Him as a servant and not have Him in our mind? So we have to think about it. Give it some thought. We may not like to think about it. We may not like to talk about it. We may not like to even say what God has revealed concerning it. But bless your heart, we're part of it. So don't you think we ought to think about it? Absolutely so. So if you have your Bible up and you have it open to Matthew chapter 25, let's take a look beginning at verse 1. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. I find it amazing, very interesting, very profitable, the way that Jesus did most of His teaching while He was here upon this earth. And that three chapters in this part of your New Testament is given to what we're going to look at now. Not in topic necessarily, however it's included, but how that Jesus delivered His message. He knows us better than we know us. He knows what we're more apt to be thinking about than we do. And so we're here in the flesh. We're faced eyeball to eyeball, as it were, with that which is material and fleshly. So that's where our mind does its jig, you see. It's always going concerning what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we want, and all kinds of things passing through our mind. Well, is anything concerning your meeting of God at the end of time have any place in all of that? As we notice, we don't know when it's going to be, so we better have it going first place in that. What did he tell us back over there in chapter 6 of the Gospel according to Matthew? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek what? The righteousness of God. When? First. He ought to be circulating in our mind all of the time, guiding and governing us in what we say, what we think, what we do, where we go. He needs to be there. So what does He tell us now, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to seek the bridegroom. Now, a study of this will tell you what he's talking about. The bridegroom is the coming of our Lord. And so here are 10 people. Their minds circulating concerning what's going to happen. The Lord's involved, you see. That's the first thing we see in the beginning of this 5th chapter. But he continues in verse 2, and he says, 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Now get that. 10 people. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. That tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that not everybody's going to be wise, and not everybody's going to be foolish. So where will you stand? With the wise or with the foolish? It depends on your thinking. It depends on the thinking. So now we have 10 people divided, 5 here, 5 there. Verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They made no preparation, you see. They made no preparation. Now, I mentioned going on a vacation a moment ago, didn't I? What are you going to take with you? I would imagine you have a list of things in your mind what you're going to take with you on vacation 2-3 months from now, maybe. You're planning for it, looking forward to it. What about you're going to meet God? Does your mind have any space to work upon that, make your plans in that direction? Well, he would want us to, according to what we're looking at. So we continue at verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. You see, they were prepared. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That's all 10 of them, the way that reads, isn't it? They all slept and slumbered. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out and meet him. Now what did we say about that dignitary a while ago? We're going to go out and meet him, wouldn't we? We're going to go out and meet him. Well, what do we do about it? Sit down in our easy chair at home and expect him to come to you? How are we thinking? Are we thinking like the wise, or are we thinking like the foolish? Well, I'm not going to take any fuel for my lamp when I go camping. Somebody there will have something, I'll just borrow a little from him. Suppose that's what he's involved in, his plans for this camping? Doesn't work, as we're about to find out. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was this cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
Now, when did they start making their preparation? He's coming. He's almost here. I can almost hear the door rattle. He's about to come in. I must hurry and get the oil for my lamp. Make my preparations to meet him before he can get through the door. Didn't we learn a moment ago that Jesus is here, but we can't see him? He said, I'll be with you if you're assembled in my name. Now, do you suppose he just said that in order to have something to say? That's as powerful as the gospel, because Jesus said them both. So, the preparations are being made too late. Too late. Now let's see what happens. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now what did we say a while ago about going camping? Oh, somebody there's going to have some oil. We'll just borrow some from him. Is that exactly what's said here? Exactly, isn't it? And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Why? Because they didn't make preparations for them not to go out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. You ever go to a wedding, and after the door was shut, somebody come and opened it for you? That rarely happens, because when that door is shut, all attention is given to what's inside. And what do you think it's going to be when the Lord comes? Do you think there's going to be anybody thinking about oil for their lamps or anything else at that time? But what's taking place then? But it's too late for five of these virgins because they failed to make preparation. What's going to happen to me if I fail to make preparation? Exactly what's happening to these virgins? Now I can see that God said it. He has given us a warning, hasn't he? But it continues. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. They're banging on the door, as it were. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Do you suppose they really enjoyed hearing that? Well, just continue on in this fifth chapter of the 25th chapter, and we get over to about verse 31. When the Lord of man shall come in his glory, see how the two come together? The Lord's got there now, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What was the result of your thinking now about what's going to happen then? Which side of that door would you want to be on at that time? Those are shut out from the wedding are those that are gladly received in this wedding, in this interest, spiritually speaking, into the home of God. But Jesus goes right ahead with the reading of what Matthew took from the Lord. And when he gets down toward the end of that, for the sake of time, beginning at about verse 43. Well, let's begin at 42. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. Why? Why? Were they ready? No, the Lord was hungry. We had the opportunity to feed him, but we didn't do it. We were not ready. We did not show our love to the Lord. I was a stranger, for I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and a thirst, and a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and still not minister unto thee? Now they know full well they didn't do it. They have already admitted they didn't do it. And what's their condition before the Lord? He was not happy with them. And it's well to say they were not happy with him either because of what he was saying. But he said unto them, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and a thirst and stranger, naked and sick and in prison, and didn't minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And thee shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Do we have anything to think about eternity? About going to this great wedding feast, as it were? You see, the Lord used something physical that we know a little bit about in order to help us to understand what is spiritual that's coming to us. These people didn't make the preparation. What did he say? Inasmuch as you didn't do anything to these other brethren that were in need, you didn't do it to me. Well, now that brings us even closer, you see, by virtue of the fact we know the Lord's here, but we don't see him, so consequently, if he's hungry, we can't feed him. If he's thirsty, we can't give him drink. And all the rest of what he mentions here that these folks didn't do, we know we can't do that because he's not here physically. But you're here, and I'm here. Therefore, we owe this kind of love to our brethren. Why did we mention about the brethren in Corinth this morning? Why did the Lord take the course he took through the Apostle Paul in order to cause them to understand the situation they were in? Well, he simply pointed out to them physically what they could understand. And then brought the door or the window down with the spiritual. It's the spiritual we've got to do some thinking about it, brethren. We are in the spiritual body of Jesus the Christ. Part of His body. So what then should we be concerned about? Your stomach is in your body. Do you get excited and maybe quite excited if you get a stomach ache? Yes, you do. You think a lot about that. Why is it hurting me so? Why does it make me feel this way? We do a lot of thinking about it because it hurts. Do we have any feeling spiritually? Yes, we do. But it's in the mind. Where we need to be doing some thinking in getting ourselves ready for that great day that's coming. We just sang a song about there's a great day coming. It's going to be great two ways. It's going to be the biggest hurt that those on the left have ever received in the flesh. When the Lord says, depart, I know you not. How would you feel if you were in that group? Oh, that's way down the line yet. I got a lot of time. We probably all have known somebody along the way that's just waiting because I got a lot of time. Do we really know that we have a lot of time? We don't know that we have any time. So every opportunity that ought to knock on our door, we ought to open it if we can do some spiritual good to somebody. That's what Paul was trying to get the Corinthians to understand in our study this morning. That's what we find Matthew trying to get us to understand this evening. We've got to use the mind that God has given unto us to think about what He has given for us to feed that mind. We have a book of it. A whole library of 66 books. And 27 of those books is directed at us. And we need to study it by considering that the pens and the paper, or whatever it is that the apostles wrote on, they were writing to us what God wants us to know, what He wants us to think about, and what we think about, we must do. Now, what did James say? James chapter 1, remember? James said we are to be doers of the law and not hearers only. We have a system that I'm not so sure is a very good one. Some cases, yes, very good if we know how to use it. And God tells us how to use it. How many times have you been told, maybe by your parents, or your parents have told your children, just let it go in one ear, not the other? This whole world is trying to fill our head with what ought to go in one ear and out the other. But what God has told us in this book is not only for now, but it's also for then. So, are we ready to meet its result by our obedience? If we're not, why? Why? We just didn't think about it. Just didn't think about it. You see somebody that needs a little bit of help. When I get the wheelchair out of the back of my car, almost every time, some good soul happens to be in the sight of that and rushes over, "Can I help you?" And in all probability, that person doesn't know a thing about God. You see, that's the average today. He just didn't know anything about what God wants us to know. But he had enough concern for the other person that maybe he needs some help. So, "Can I help you?" It gives a good feeling to the one that needs the help to know that somebody cares. But maybe we pick up the phone and call a brother or a sister to come by and give us a hand. We need some help. And they give some kind of excuses. They just can't do it right now. But along comes your neighbor and finds you needing some help right now, and he dives in to render that situation. Who's going to get the glory? Well, nobody, really. Because the neighbor wasn't serving God. All he's going to get is he just felt like I did a good deed today, and that's all there is to it. But when we do a good deed to somebody else, we know that we are exercising God's love. As I this morning suggested, study 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He tells us that God is love. We agree with that. And God shed His love to us. Do we stop it right there? And this fellow over here that's lost in sin, that definitely needs some help, doesn't get it from us? Does that love return unto God? In that case, to our account, because He gave it to us to begin with. So we stop it right here, and it doesn't get back to that eternal book in the hands of Almighty God. So He doesn't record it. So what's He going to tell us when we meet Him in that final day? Are we going to hear, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you"? That hurts even now. But it's going to hurt a whole lot worse then. So, are you ready? Do we need to think about it? Do we need to do something about it? It's great if we're ready, doing the very best we can in order to be ready to meet Him when He comes. When that bridegroom comes, we want to be the first one to shake hands with Him, as it were. And that we have pleased Him through the course of our life. That's what we're here for. And we fulfilled that responsibility that He's given to us. We're ready to meet Him. Go home with Him. Jesus said also in the book of John, about chapter 14, I believe it is, told His apostles that He was going to go to prepare a place for them, and that where He is, there they may be also. You know, that's going to be a big place, because it also will include us if we're ready. So we need to make every day of our lives a day to make preparation. And that's going to direct the course of our life. It's going to make us better people. It's going to make us happier people. It's going to make us a people that begins to think like some of the older people do. As they're younger, we don't want to think about that day of coming. We just don't want to talk about that. I'm afraid of it. I don't want to come. But then the older we get, will say, "Come, Lord, come." We're ready. We're going to go home. Come and get us. Can you do that? Maybe it has something to do with your thinking. So are you ready? We have another God-given opportunity to make ourselves ready if we have done something to the displeasure of our Heavenly Father. We need to have that removed if we're a child of God. If not a child of God, we need to realize why He sent His Son to accomplish, and it cost His Son the life and the shedding of His blood, and the giving of us the rules to accomplish that home in heaven. Are you ready to obey the gospel of Christ? You now have the opportunity of doing just that. You know what to do? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Why the hearing of the Word of God? Because it's God through His Word tells us what we must do. And James said, as we noted a moment ago, we've got to be doers and not just hearers. So what does He tell us to do? He tells us that we must believe. That means we've got to give some concern to what He says, developing the determination of accepting the responsibility of what He says. Change of mind, you see, the cleaning of our mind. Repenting of those past sins in our life. And acknowledge, "Christ, I want you to be my Lord." Confessing it to Christ. And then, to be buried in the water grave of baptism, as Jesus was baptized in that dry tomb for your salvation. But He was resurrected therefrom by the power of God. And we're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 that by the power of God we're raised from that water grave to walk in newness of life. In Acts chapter 2 and the last verse of the chapter, God adds the saved to His body, the church. Wouldn't you like to begin your course to heaven on that path, walking in the footsteps of Jesus? If that you have not done, you can do it right now while together.